Friends of Gaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Rajananda Sri Vedic Dadhar Shri Baba Shri Vindhi Jai Shri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopura Shama Kandura Radha Kati Jiri Guru Dhani Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navada Dham Ki Jai Jai Jumana Kosti Bhakti Jai Bhi Jai Kanana Kodi Vaishnava Vrindhi Jai Samadhatta Bhakti Vrindhi Jai Go Premanandi All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to Shri Guru Shri Ranga, glories to Shri Prabhu. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namo Vishnu Krishna Sakulay Smriti Bhaktivedanta Swamini Pidamane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prasadane Nirvishesha Shanivari Pashchata Desha Sarane. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasti Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4 Chapter 7 Verse 51 Atmamayam
Atmamayam
Samavishya
Samavishya
Soham
Gunamayim
Vijja
Srijan
Rakshan
Haran
Vishwam
Dadre
Sangya
Priyochita
Atmamayam Samavishya
Atmamayam Samavishya
Soham Gunamayim Vijja
Soham Gunamayim Vijja
Srijan Rakshan Haran Vishwam
Srijan Rakshan Haran Vishwam
Dadre Sangyam Kriyotam
Dadre Sangyam Kriyotam Atmanayam Samavishya Soham Gunamayim Srijan Rakshan Haran Vishwam
Atmamayam Samavishya
Atmamayam Samavishya
Soham Gunamayim Dvija
Soham Gunamayim Dvija
Sridhan Rakshan Haram Vishwam
Sridhan Rakshan Haram Vishwam
Dadre Samhyam Priyotitam
Dadre Samhyam Priyotitam
Atmamayam Samavishya
Atmamayam Samavishya
Soham Gunamayim Dvija
Soham
Atmamayam, my energy,
Samavishya,
having entered, myself, Saham, I, Gunamayim, both of the most material nature, Vijja, both twice born Daksha, Srijan, creating, Rakshan, maintaining, Haran, annihilating, Vishwam,
cosmic manifestation,
Dadre, I
cause to be born,
Sangya,
name,
Kriyochitam, according to the activity. Translation of the Lord continued, my dear Daksha Dvija, I am the original personality of Godhead, but in order to create, maintain, and annihilate this cosmic manifestation, I act through my material energy. And according to the different grades of activity, my representations are differently named. Report as explained in Bhagavad Gita, Jiva Bhuta Mahabaho, the whole world is energy released from the Supreme Source. The personality of God, who, it is further stated in Bhagavad Gita, acts in superior energies and inferior energies. The Supreme Energy is the living energy, who is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. As parts and parcels of living energies are not different from the Supreme Lord, the energy emanated from him is not different from him, but in the actual activity of this material world, the living entity is under the different qualities of material energy and in different forms. There are 8,400,000 life forms. The same living entity acts under the influence of the different qualities of material nature. The entities have different bodies, but originally, in the beginning of creation, Lord Vishnu is alone. For the purpose of creation, Brahma is manifest, and for annihilation, there is Lord Shiva. As far as the spiritual entrance into the material world is concerned, all beings are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. But under the covering of different material qualities, they have different names. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are qualitative incarnations of Vishnu as Guna avatars, and Vishnu with them accepts control of the qualities of the quality of goodness. Therefore, he is also a qualitative incarnation like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. Actually, the different names exist for different directions, otherwise the origin is one only. Translation of the Lord continued, my dear Daksha Dvija, I am the original personality of God, but in order to create, maintain, and annihilate this cosmic manifestation, I act through my material energy, and according to the different grades of activity, my representations are differently named. So here, Vishnu is explaining how he creates, maintains, and destroys. He enters into his own energy, Atmamayam, Gunamayim, which is made out of gunas. So he enters into Prakriti and creates, maintains, and destroys this universe. He is given different names according to his actions. So what this refers to is the previous verse in which Vishnu said, I am Brahma and I am Shiva, and we are non-different. So this qualifies that statement, because generally we understand that Brahma is not Vishnu and Shiva is not Vishnu. We distinguish between them. But nevertheless, the Lord said, I and Brahma and Shiva are all supreme. So, here we find a qualification of that statement. So here the Lord is speaking of himself, Vishnu. And he says, I do the creation, maintenance, and destruction of this material world made up of gunas, which is under my control, Atmamayam. But to do that, I assume different names for these different activities of creation, maintenance, and destruction. So in other words, I assume the forms of Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva for the maintenance and the creation and the destruction of the universe. So in that way, he says that I am Brahma and Shiva also. At the same time, I am in control of this whole situation. So he does make some distinction here. So in this way, he's explaining the creation of the material world. This creation of the material world is discussed in many places in the Bhagavatam, and in fact, we'll find it in every canto. Particularly in the second canto, and the third canto, and the fourth canto, we'll find a lot of descriptions of the creation of the material world.
This is not very significant in one sense, since the material worlds themselves are rather useless and are insignificant compared to the spiritual world. But as far as the human beings here are concerned, the material world is significant, and therefore the production of the material world is described over and over. So this material world is not independent of the Supreme Lord. It is dependent upon Him. So it is only because of the Supreme Lord that this material world manifests. And to do that, then he assumes different forms in order to carry out the functions of the material world. So the primary functions are creation, maintenance, and destruction. So he assumes forms to do that, as Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva. However, we will also understand that generally Brahma and Shiva are not considered in the same category as the Supreme Lord. Nevertheless, we also say they are avatars. They are called guna avatars, because they are given certain powers by the Supreme Lord. So there is some sort of oneness between the Lord and Brahma and Shiva. At the same time, we often distinguish them and say they are in a lesser category. So particularly, Brahma is usually a Jiva. And Shiva, though he is not a Jiva, does not manifest the same powers as the Supreme Lord, and therefore we distinguish Vishnu from Shiva. So generally we do not say they are one, rather they are different, they are of a different category. However, in discussing the creation of the material world, by giving this name Guna Avatars to Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, we more or less equate them and put them on one level as far as our functions of creation, maintenance, and destruction are concerned. In this way they become equal. At the same time, we have to understand that the source of all this, again, is Vishnu. So everything arises from Garbhadakshaya Vishnu and then Mahavishnu or Pranadakshaya Vishnu. So the Brahma and Shiva are not actually equal in the literal sense. So that is the understanding we should have. So the Lord does not do everything personally. Well, he does it through his appointed representatives. So the two main representatives are Brahma and Shiva. So he puts them in a special category, and they are called Guna Avatars. Many others carry out functions also. So we have many Devatas and Prajapatis and sages, etc. Manus. They also work on behalf of the Supreme Lord. So they're also given a special distinction. They are called Vibhutis of the Lord. They are given special powers, but less powers than Brahma and Shiva. So the Lord does not do everything personally. He appoints different persons to do this for him. Why does he have to do that? In one sense, he doesn't. He can do everything himself and still remain aloof. But he likes to engage others. Just as in the material world, generally one cannot get the mercy of the Lord, one has to get the mercy of the devotees. Now the Lord, of course, could give mercy directly, but he doesn't. He does it through the devotees. Why? Because he likes to give service to the devotees. He likes to empower the devotees to give out mercy. So therefore, the devotees give up the mercy of the Lord, and he keeps that system. So similarly, he could do everything personally, but he allows these devatas and Brahma and Shiva to act on his behalf, and they serve in different ways on behalf of the Supreme Lord. So this is a service that he engages different jivas in to carry out his functions. So in this way, he keeps them all engaged. So therefore, the material world ultimately is created, maintained, and destroyed by the Supreme Lord, ultimately. But he does that through his agents, in terms of guna avatars and devatas, etc. So we should not think that they are independently acting. From our point of view, we may think, yes, they are acting independently because we cannot see everything. Therefore, the scriptures are there to trace back the line of authority further and further until we come to the end. So we have a description in the third canto of Mahavishnu, and it is only through him that universe is manifest. And it is through him that Garbhadaksha and Vishnu enters, and then Brahma and Shiva appear. So this explains to us the hierarchy, that the ultimate cause is Vishnu. So we should not become confused and think that Brahma and Shiva operate independently. And even if the Lord here says we are all equal, we should not take that as a literal statement. So many people become confused because they will not only hear, but in other scriptures, even more, they will glorify Shiva or Brahma or other devatas. So the Tamasic Puranas glorify Shiva, and the Rajasic Puranas glorify Brahma, and they put them in the highest position. So the intelligent person should not be confused by those statements. Everybody cannot be supreme. So if we look at the functions of the different persons and the relationship between them, then we can understand who is higher and lower. So those statements are made in scripture. We cannot take every statement literally because there's contradiction. Therefore, we have to use our intelligence to look at the different scriptures and see the final conclusion. So that is why it is dangerous to take one statement of scripture on its own. We have to see the general conclusion of scripture as well. That may be difficult for us, and therefore the acharyas are there to give us the actual meaning of things. And if we take individual statements independently of everything else, we can make mistake. The statements themselves are not so useful. So simply to quote scripture is not in itself useful, because it can be interpreted in many ways, and the statement may be literally true, it may not be literally true. So we have to see the context of everything. So we cannot take scripture independently. This fallacy is called the half a chicken logic. So that means that we take one part and then of something, and we think that that is useful, but actually it's useless. Just as the chicken, the foolish owner of the chicken was getting his eggs, and then he thought very intelligently that I have to feed the chicken, so I have to use some of the money that I get from the eggs to feed the chicken. To buy in grains. So that's not so good, because I lose my profit by feeding him. So he took an axe and he cut the chicken in half, and he took the front part and he sold it in the market, because that was the part that was eating all the grains. And he's saying, here's half a chicken for sale. And he kept the back part where the eggs came out. And he waited for the eggs to come out, and he wouldn't have to feed the chicken anymore. Nothing came out. So we take half the chicken, we cannot get the eggs. So if we take one statement and isolate from scripture, it may be useless because it has got no meaning in itself. So one has to be very careful how we read scripture and how we quote scripture, because out of context, it is useless. So we have to find the import of all of the scriptures and of all of the different works, and then we can come to a final conclusion about what is the meaning of things. So similarly in the Bhagavatam, we cannot take individual statements and come to the conclusion. The reason is that Sukadeva also does not speak directly in all cases, and the sages do not speak directly in all cases. So in the 11th canto there, the Lord says, I prefer also not to speak directly. I speak in terms of paroksha. I do not speak directly. And the sages also prefer this. So we cannot always take direct meanings as the highest truth. We have to very, very carefully examine things. Therefore, we have to generally understand things through the acharyas, not independently. Otherwise, we can make big mistakes. So here we have the description given of the Lord and how he relates to Brahma and Shiva. And though they are non-different in one sense and therefore called guna avatars, at the same time, we have to understand that Vishnu is the source of everything and that everything is dependent on him. Simply based upon who comes first and who comes second, we cannot come to a final conclusion as such. But at the same time, if we look at these descriptions in detail, then we will understand that Brahma actually is a jiva. And Shiva may be a jiva, and if he's not, even then he has less powers. So we cannot take, of course, the appearance itself as the main idea that they are dependent. But, of course, if they do appear like this, then that is some reason to think that they are not the Supreme. Krishna also appears, so we can't say that therefore he is secondary to someone else because he makes his appearance. We have to see the difference between these two types of appearances. Brahma definitely has a material body when he appears as well. So it's not just that the appearance itself, but the way in which he appears. Shiva, of course, is eternal. And he's beyond the material world. And he also appears later on through the agency of Vishnu. The other avatars, of course, we can say in some sense, if they make their appearance, there is some sort of dependency of sorts. But we cannot say that in relation to Krishna. So he is not subjected to appearing through Garbhadakshaya Vishnu or Kiridakshaya Vishnu at all. He appears simply as a pastime in this material world. He does not make an appearance to any other form of the Lord. Others may, and that way they show that they are expansion, let's say expansions, or they show partial powers or whatever. So the Lord may appear in any way. Sometimes he simply appears as Nrsimhadeva appears from a column or a pillar, or he may appear through a mother and father, or extraordinarily just through someone like Brahma as Varahadev. So his appearances are various, how he appears in this material world. But because of that, we should not conclude he has a material body. Simply because he may take a birth from a mother and father in the material world, we should not think that he has a material body at all. He's always extraordinary. So he always has a spiritual body in any case. So these appearances in the material world of the Lord are merely pastimes or lila. That's not caused by karma. Yeah. Yeah, so sometimes he's born from mother and father. Kapila is born from mother and father. Vrishabhadev from mother and father. Dattatreya from mother and father. Most of the time, we'll see mothers and fathers are involved in most of the avatars. Kalki also has mother and father. Krishna has a mother and father. Rama has a mother and father. Most have mother and father. Some don't, as in the case of Varaha appearing from the nostril, or Nrsimhadeva appearing from a pillar.
Yeah. You also say the expansions.
Expansions in the sense that they manifest partial qualities and not all the qualities. Only in that sense they're called expansions. Not that they are suddenly make an appearance and they weren't there before. By expansion we don't mean a time concept, merely that they don't manifest as many qualities as another form. Some are and some aren't. Because it says they do karma and sacrifice and you become eternal. Amrita Bhavati. But you don't, actually. So you cannot take every statement literally. Indra is in charge of the Devadas on Svarga Loka. Above Svarga we have, you know, Maga Loka, Jana Loka, Tapa Loka, and Brahma Loka. So the Devadas, when they are in problem, they go to Brahma. As we see with Krishna, when Kamsa was harassing, they go to Brahma. And then Brahma goes to Vishnu. And similarly here, the Devadas go to Brahma. And when they're in problem, at the sacrifice. So he is the source of all the Devadas also. He is the controller of all the devatas ultimately in the material world. I would assume so. They're not mentioned in any other category. In general, sometimes Brahma is not a jiva, the Supreme Lord. Yes, sometimes a jiva takes the role of Shiva. So in that case, he's not eternal. His body is temporary in that case. They don't accept the Vedas.
So they fall.
They're not following the Vedic process, the same with the Buddhists, etc. But according to their philosophy, generally it's impersonal. As is the Buddhist philosophy. They don't have a form for God. The final solution is something very vague. Well, they can expand. And of course, the lifetime here is a few seconds there. So what is the problem? They also have expansion forms. Well, Durga is a offshoot of Yoga Maya, actually, or Lakshmi. So a Shakti, an expansion of the Lord Shakti in the material world, is the Achit Shakti. The Chit Shakti expands as the Achit Shakti. So that Achit Shakti actually is also eternal, because Prakriti is eternal in that sense. So Durga is in a special category also. There are many explanations of this. I don't know they've come to any conclusion. There's a few places in the Bhagavatam where it mentions Bhugola also. At the same time, we see that the surface is generally described as a flat surface and not narrow in the middle. Not exactly flat, but rather flat. And then there's circles of different oceans around it with different dvipas. So that's one description. And then we have the conception of Bhugola also there, which Gola literally means round. So of course that also may be subject to some speculation or whatever. So some people say that our particular Varshas are the Varsha is the Bhugola or whatever, though the Bhugola seems to be the whole of Bhumandala also. So it's, so maybe it's curved, who knows, I don't know. But generally it's described as flat. But no one's really figured out the how to consolidate that, as far as I know. Well, if we look in the second canto, I think it is, third canto also, it talks about Brahmaloka. It is not a place of misery as we know it. The only misery is death, that's all, after billions and billions of years. But technically, it's no misery there. Well, because you have to die. The body is still material.
Okay.